This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. Yeah, there's two of us, believe it or not. I'm Mark Stachowski, originally from Rochester, New York. Now I live in Houston, Texas. I am voluntarily bald since 2003. This other young man, I do say young because he is younger than I am. He still lives up in Rochester. He's my cousin. And what might your name be?
I am Daniel Bornt. And yes, I am the other bald nerd.
Now, you're supposed to say my name might be Daniel Bornt.
I blew it already. What can I say?
You blew it already. The show, it's all going to go down.
Show's over. Let's go. All done.
Less than 1 minute. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you've never listened to the show before, why not? I mean, seriously, why not? I mean, we've been doing this for a while. We just wanted to create a podcast because we're two nerds. And so we just come to you every week. We just talk about nerdy topics. And there is a way you can suggest topics on the show. And Danny, how would they do that?
The way that they suggest topics is they can join our WhatsApp group. Yes, we have a WhatsApp group. It is... Go to WhatsApp and you search for the number two, the word bald, B-A-L-D, and nerds, N-E-R-D-Z, as in zebra. Ask to be invited in. Mark or I can let you into the group and you can ask us questions. You can suggest show topics. You can get a load of any of the banter that's going on in there. We'd like to get a lot of people in there so that we can make it a fun and enjoyable social experience.
A social experience. So we're going to do something a little bit different starting with the show. I was talking to Danny we're having too much fun on Snapchat.
But, yes, we are.
Yeah. So what we're going to start doing is we're still going to do our show prep. So don't think we're just going to like tank the show. But we found out that our favorite episodes are when we just have a little show notes and we just banter because then we're not reading from the screen. So we're going to start that. With this episode, well, we've done it before accidentally. We're going to do it intentionally starting with this one, and we're going to see what happens. So I thought a good topic of the show for this time, and to be honest with you, I came up with this topic because 2 days ago, Danny and I didn't have a topic yet, and he goes, I don't know, and so I said, well, I got an idea. So as you can tell from the title of this episode, we're going to talk about where we think mobile or mobile technology is headed. Now, this is just our opinions. We don't work for Apple or Google or anybody else. This is just our thoughts. And so we're going to banter back and forth. And so, Danny, I think a good place to start will be smartphones. So I currently have the iPhone 13 Pro Max, and I have made a decision. I will never get a non-Pro Max camera or phone from Apple. I love the big screen. I love the fact that it's got like 28K film, video, and it's a great camera. It's a really great smartphone. I hope they don't make any bigger smartphones. I think the Pro Max is a really good size, and I am not interested at all with the foldable phone. Why would you want to fold a phone? I would be so scared if you fold the phone, it becomes smaller and then you can lose it. So I don't want to lose a $1,900 piece of equipment.
We had foldable phones at one point. They were called flip phones and they kind of went out of style. So like, why are they trying to bring it back?
Yeah. Why are you trying to fold glass? I don't understand that.
To me, glass doesn't seem like it's something you should fold.
But that's the trend. Samsung's doing it now, and Apple's doing it, allegedly. I don't understand. I mean, do you really, is this not, you want the smaller, this device, you want it smaller? So do you, let me ask you this question. In your professional opinion, do you think that the size of the iPhone 13 Pro Max, and I guess it's the same size as the Google Pixel, you think that's going to be the biggest we go? I mean, or do you think they're going to go bigger?
I think for the form factor of a single device, yes. I can't see it going much bigger. only for the simple reason that if you're trying to keep it mobile, pockets are only so big. Like if you've ever tried to carry around even a Kindle Paperwhite, which I have, is a very small tablet.
Yeah.
But I can't put that in my pocket. So I think you get to a point where there's a good size that is considered mobile usable, where you can carry it around in a pocket, a case, a small backpack, whatever. Most people carry their devices around in their pockets, I would guess. Most people that I know carry it around in their pocket. I know some of the ladies like to carry it around in their purse, but still, you don't want a massive thing to be carrying around in your purse anyway.
And I know women who have purses and they carry their phones in their back pocket. Now, the only time I put my phone in my back pocket is when I'm standing. So what happens is when I go to church, I will leave the phone in my back pocket, but before I sit down, I take it out of the back pocket because I just had this fear of sitting down and crack. I don't want to do that. So then I put it in my front pocket. Now you may say, well, why don't you just leave it in your front pocket? Because I don't. That's not what I do. But I'm very careful because these phones are so expensive. I'm really careful with these phones. Now, I was going to ask you if you could ever see yourself using a phone the size of your iPad.
No. To me, that's just way too big.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Anything bigger than what... I have a friend who has a Pro Max. They have the bigger phone. So I've seen them. I've never actually had one that big myself. I know they're a bit bigger than what I have. I currently have an iPhone 11, which is just the regular size phone. And for me, this is the perfect size. I think that as we get into the future of mobile technology, when it comes to smartphones, I still think they're going to have at least a couple of different sizes, because you're going to have a group of people that want a bigger phone. Imagine someone who has larger hands, or maybe can't see as well.
Like me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I only have one eye.
Yep, so Mark's blind in one eye, if you didn't know. I know he's mentioned it on the podcast before. Or you just have, like myself, I kind of fit into the category a little bit because my eyes are really bad. This screen gets away with it for now, but I can see as I get older, if, you know, my eyes get worse, there's the possibility that I would want to go to the Pro Max so that I get the bigger screen. Because I don't like to do a lot of stuff on my phone for a long period of time because of the wear on my eyes as it is. So a lot of
I will tell you, if you ever got the Pro Max, you would fall in love.
I'm sure I would. At some point, I will probably break down. So the quick story with mine is I love the iPhone and I have an iPhone. But right now, because of the company I work for, they provide me with a phone. About a year in, I decided I didn't want to carry two phones around, because when I first started, I had my own private phone and then I had the company phone, and it just got, for my personal workflow and habits, it just got to be too much of a pain to carry around and keep track of two phones. So I gave up my personal phone and just ported everything over to the company phone. So I have one phone that's my company and personal phone combined. I did that because they will let me, if I ever leave the company, take that number with me. So I get I get to keep the number. I wouldn't have done it if they wouldn't let me keep the number, because then there, you get into a whole host of other problems and issues. But so I did a one-time change in my phone number like 8 years ago, got rid of my old phone number. I have this phone number now, so I use this phone. So I get what they give us. And what they're giving us now, they're usually a generation or two behind because, again, it's a company and they're on contract or whatnot. If I ever went to another phone that was my own, I would obviously probably get a Pro Max, probably not the brand newest phone, because I'm in that group where I never test out the brand new thing when it first comes out, because I've been down that road before. Mark, we've had this conversation.
Yep.
I just don't test the brand new thing first run. I'll go a year earlier. I'll let that brand new thing get out in the wild, let everybody else test it, let all the kinks get worked out, and then I'll go ahead and switch to it. So I would more than likely get 1 year behind whatever is at the time. But I do like the idea of a bigger phone.
Well, you also save money, by the way. You save money when you buy the version of the phone, like the iPhone 13. I bought the 13. Well, about a year ago. Yeah, about a year ago, I bought the 13. It had come out. Now I got to think. I didn't write this down. So this is July. The 13 came out in October. I think it was just after January or February. I had gotten the brand new phone. And because we had the 11s, I think, and we decided to upgrade. Now I'm hearing that they're going to have a chip shortage in the 14. But I can tell you, I really like the iPhone Pro Max, the iPhone 13 Pro Max. I didn't think I'd like the really big screen, but I love the quality of the video. And I can tell you, one of the things as a content creator I like about the Pro Max is it has 4K on the FaceTime camera. See, when I had the last camera, which I believe was the 11, might have been the 12, they didn't go to 4K on the FaceTime camera. Now, I had 4K on the rear-facing camera. But when you're taking videos yourself, you can't see yourself. You don't know if you're on, if you're center of the screen. Now, the 13 Pro Max allows me to take the FaceTime camera, and I can take great 4K videos. That's why I upgraded it. I would say unless you have a lot of money or unless you are a serious content creator, you don't need the Pro Max. I mean, my wife, Michelle, she's got the iPhone 13 Pro, which has all the features as the Pro Max, except for I get like ProMotion, which I don't even use, and is a bigger screen, which she doesn't really care about because she can see just fine. So that's why I like the Pro Max. Now, when the 14 comes out, I won't get the 14. My next phone will probably be the 15 because there's nothing wrong with this phone. I mean, I've had the phone on all day and it's only 50%. Your battery's used up at 50%. So it's got a bigger battery than the Pro Max, but I love the Pro Max. Now, my question for you is, do you see a day in our lifetime when there is no more smartphones? In other words, maybe we're just using watches or wearables or glasses or something else. Or do you think in our lifetime we will always have a physical smartphone?
I think in your and my lifetime, no. I think there's going to be smartphones in your and my lifetime. Okay. I think towards the end, they might start to be dwindling. But again, this can obviously change based on the climate of society. Not everybody wants to be wearing glasses around. Mm-hmm. People have been attached to a phone for a long time, and the phone form factor is kind of a carryover from the old phones when they used to be cordless phones in the house, and then before that, they were the corded phones. So that factor of being able to, even though most people don't hold them up to their ears to talk a lot now, most people are walking around and using like a Bluetooth device or something like that. The sheer comfort, and there's a word I'm looking for and it escapes me right now. Anyway, can't think of the word, but there's that long tradition of having that kind of form factor, something that you can hold in your hand. Mm-hmm. I think that's been ingrained in society for so long that it's going to take a while to get that out. So in our lifetime, definitely not. I could see maybe by the time Zoe, who's my goddaughter, she's 7, is our age, that could be a possibility. Okay. Because you're talking, that's, 40, 50 years from now, we'll probably be dead unless they come up with a good way to keep us alive.
Hey.
That's kind of morbid to think about, but
in 50 years, I'll be 107. We'll still be doing the podcast. Let's be positive here.
Hey, if we get these brain computer interfaces I was reading about the other day, who knows? Good grief. Anyway, that's another part of the conversation. But yeah, I don't think in our lifetime they'll be gone, no.
Okay. Now, you and I both have Apple Watches. You have a Series 3. I have a Series 6 cellular. And I am amazed, I guess I should say, that all the things that this thing can track. I mean, it tracks my workouts, it tracks my walks, it tracks my runs, it can track my blood oxygen. When you get the 6, you get the blood oxygen. You know, the altimeter. When I go on my daily runs, I don't even bring my phone anymore. I just bring my AirPods and my watch because it's cellular. And I'm really interested to find out what Apple's going to be able to do with the Apple Watch. Because now with watchOS 9 coming out in September, it's going to be able to track sleep. They're going to be able to, I'm really excited about the medication tracking. Because right now I set up reminders to take my medication. Well, it's actually supplements, not medication, but that's all going to be in there. If you're a woman, they have period tracking in there. And I'm just so excited because I like to see where Apple's going. I'm sure they're working on a lot of things. The rumor has it blood pressure. They're not going to come up blood pressure with your wristwatch. It's not going to happen because I don't think they can. I think physically they can't do that, but I'm really excited to see what else they can do with this watch. Cause this thing, I love my Apple Watch, and I get sad, you know, when I have to charge it up. Like right now, it's at 26%. It's time to get charged before bed. But are you excited about what they can measure in terms of the Apple Watch?
I am. I think the technology in the Apple Watch is really actually pretty cool. And the fact that they can measure all of these different things, like you just ran down the list. I'm not going to reiterate the list, but the sensors that they put into these things and the way that the newer watch can track, like the triathlon stuff. We had talked about this when we talked about the WWDC, how in the new watches, it's going to be able to automatically, based on the different sensors in there, it'll be able to tell when you go from swimming to biking to running. So a triathlete will be able to measure an entire event as like one thing. But it'll be able to break it up into the three events as they're running, and they're not even going to have to think about doing it. It'll just know.
Well, it's not the new watch, because watchOS 9 is going to be out before the new watch. You're going to be able to do this on the Series 7 and Series 6. So I'll be able to use this.
That's a software update then.
Yeah. They're also going to do something with all the sensors in the watch. So as I'm running, somehow you watch the keynote, they're going to be able to do something with the motion of my arms compared to my legs and the cadence, and they're going to be able to get all these other numbers. As a runner, I'm really excited about that because it's going to give me more data.
Right, because they're going to be able to compute like your stride length and things like that, I believe is what if I recall correctly. All kinds of really cool stuff. And it's all based on these sensors that are in the watch and the motion of your arms, and pretty wild what they can jam into these small form factors. I am definitely going to be upgrading my watch sooner rather than later, especially after I find out recently that this last update that came out for watchOS is the last one my watch is going to take.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I tell you, I really like the fall detection. And I think one of the companies that is missing a boat on this is my dad, has a Consumer Cellular, which is a great company if you are an elderly person, but they don't have the watch. And the thing I like about the watch is if you fall, it's got fall detection on it. I don't know if the 3 has it, the Series 6 has it. I've actually gotten mad some days and just like thrust my fists really high up at the ground, up in the air, or like if I watch a sporting event and I get really excited about an interception or something like that. Not that it's ever happened, but I jump up and I come down really hard. It'll say, did you just fall? And I've got to tap it. I'm okay. I did not fall, because otherwise it calls 911. And I think that's good, because we've seen stories where people have been saved because of their Apple Watch. Maybe they had an accident while skiing, or they're hiking and they fell. So I love my Apple Watch for the health benefits more than anything else. I don't read my email on my phone. That's kind of silly. I very rarely respond to a text message. I use my watch for health reasons.
Yeah. That's pretty much my primary source of using it. I do enjoy getting meeting notifications. I used it a lot more. I used it a lot more when I was at the office, obviously, like when I was wandering around from building to building and whatnot. It was very helpful. Like if I was standing in somebody's cube having a conversation with them and my next meeting was coming up, it was very easy to look at my watch because it would, you know, give me the notification. That way. But that's pretty much all I use it for, is the notifications for meetings and things of that not that what that nature, and the health benefits, sleep tracking, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No reading likes, emails or anything.
Yeah. My wife uses, when she goes shopping, she uses an app for her shopping list. And way back when COVID happened, she didn't want to have to keep unlocking her like that. That's from Awaken the Jake.
That
Awaken
was good.
Because you can't say the C word. Yes, he got a cord. So what she would do is, you know, she'd pull out her phone and she had to pull the mask down, unlock her phone. And then she started using her list on her watch, because then she just raised her watch and then all the shopping items will be there. Yep. So that's pretty curious. But you said something about glasses, and we talked about this in another episode. But I'm really excited about glasses, because right now I can't use the glasses. I was really sad when Snapchat had their Snapchat glasses, because I wear prescription glasses, as you do. And I'm hoping that when they come up with these new glasses, like when Apple comes out with their glasses, that you're going to be able to input your prescription. That would be really cool. And if they can automatically go to sunglasses when you're out in the sun, and when you go inside, they go to regular glasses. That'd be really cool. And maybe have a sensor if someone's annoying, like really boring in front of you, they go black, or maybe they have a picture of your eyes open while you're actually dozing off. That would be pretty cool too.
That'd be great. Could you imagine
that coming handy at meetings?
I heard everything.
But you got to make sure they have them. They got to blink though. You got to make sure they blink.
Yep, they have to be on a blinking timer. That'd be great.
Danny, you haven't blinked in 20 minutes.
You all right over there, man? Yeah, I'm good. No worries.
Yeah. But I think that would be really cool, because I've seen some of the bloggers who are guessing what Apple's going to come up with the glasses. It's supposed to have like the temperature in there, or you can have like Apple Maps in there. So it'd be pretty cool if you're, you know, driving down the road and it'll just say, hey, turn right at the.
Can you say that again? Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
How rude. How rude. Siri just interrupted our podcast.
She can be like that, man. You know that.
But apparently they're going to have some very minimal displays in there. Now, what's interesting is someone like me who's monocular, which means I only see out of one eye, I hope that they don't have like certain things in the left eye or left lens and certain things in the right lens, because I'll miss it. But I think it'd be really cool if you could have like a little tiny weather alert. So if you're like lightning is in near the area, or a thunderstorm or something like that, it'll pop up on there, so you don't have to worry about looking at your watch or your phone. So what do you see in terms of other wearable? We've already talked about watches, and you had mentioned on here implantables. So are you thinking like the Matrix?
Yeah. So that's actually a thing that is coming out. They've started that already. Now, embeddables, implantables, whatever you want to call them, there are some very specific use cases that already exist for this. Your classic things are your pacemakers. I mean, that's already implantable technology. Those continue to get better and better. Yeah. The cochlear implants for people who have the hearing problems, I mean, those have been around for a while now. So the idea of, from a health perspective, what they call smart organs or smart devices to help your body regulate itself when it can't do its own job has been a thing that they've been working on. But as we know, it always starts with health, and then it always bleeds into something else. So another podcast that I listened to with a bunch of Linux nerds on it had a whole episode about this that talked about the future of this implantable technology. And they talked about these piece of rice size implants that are made of glass, and they go in that fleshy part between your thumb and your first finger. Mm-hmm. And they can be pre-programmed with a myriad of different things. Some people, you know, some of the thoughts are, oh, you could pre-program them with your information so you could use that to pay for stuff. Or you can pre-program that with things like what you're allergic to, so that if anybody, you know, if you're laying flat on your back and you're accident or pass out or whatever, it'd be easy for a medic to be able to pull up your medical history and what you're allergic to. Credit card, you know, like a credit card processing thing. So they're toying around with these different ideas. I mentioned a few minutes ago, another thing that some insanely brilliant but not very smart people are working on is this whole concept of human brain computer interfaces, which is kind of like the Matrix if you think about it, because what they're talking about is a device that'll let you connect your brain directly to a computer. Now, I honestly don't see the point of that. From my perspective, it just doesn't seem like viable and worth it. I could be wrong. Maybe there's a whole bunch of people out there that just want to be able to plug into a computer and be a part of a computer all the time. I'm not one of them. I'd like to go outside one time. And I don't want to go outside and have it look like the Matrix, you know, where everything's all gray and stormy and there's no trees, right? So,
yeah.
I guess the biggest thing is, as with anything, these things are just tools or devices to use, and it's up to manufacturers and the people that make them and the people that use them that really determine whether they are good or bad.
Yeah.
And it's always I don't want to say a pessimist about a lot of these things, but I'm overly pragmatic in saying that sometimes we got to put the brakes on these things before we just rush headlong into putting them out there, because inevitably these great ideas, they get out there and they end up getting used for the wrong thing. And then when you're talking about stuff that gets implanted into you, now you got to, if it goes bad, now you got to go through a surgery or something, even if it's a minor one, to get it taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I don't like implants. The idea of implants, like you were talking about, you know, the pacemakers, the cochlear implants, or the cochlear implant, that was it called?
Yep, you got it, cochlear implants.
That I understand, but, you know, you and I are both Christians, and, you know, God doesn't mind us doing little things to help people, like the pacemaker, stuff like that. But then you start getting implants, you know, is that the mark of the beast and all this other stuff. And people don't stop and think about it. If you're not a believer and you're listening to the show, you know, we're going to get a little airy right now where you may go, well, that's, I don't believe in that. We don't have to believe in it. Okay. The Bible is 100% true and you can go read it and not believe it. You know, it's your choice. But the problem is there's a very fine line of, like Danny was alluding to, about where is ethical and where is unethical.
Exactly.
I mean, and I'm not going to be the judge here or the jury, but we got to be really careful with messing around with what God has given us. And it's really easy for people to say, you know, well, we found technology to make us live until 400 years old. Our lives, our bodies are not designed to live that long. And yeah, you can replace the hip, you can replace the heart, you can replace, you know, arms and stuff like that. But eventually your body's going to wear out. I don't care what you do with it. Your body wasn't meant to live forever. I mean, Methuselah from the Old Testament lived to 969 years old. Most people live, if they live to 80, they made it really good. That's why when you hit 80, like my father's 81, be happy. You're over 80. Most people die before 80. Yep. And every year, every day, you should be thankful of it. But I don't, you know, these people who are multi-billionaire, the global elite, they're trying to find out how to live forever. You're not going to live forever. You're not going to be able to say, there's no technology that's going to take your soul out of your body and put it in another person's body. That's science fiction. That's television. That's never going to happen. So all these people who think they're going to find a way to live for the fountain of youth, they're going to live forever. That's not going to happen. I don't ever see that technology ever existing on our planet.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, because we're on the same page on this. I don't think we're going to ever get to that point. The one thing that does bother me about the implantables is even if we ratchet it back from that a little bit, just the sheer fact of this, all of this monitoring. I mean, we're monitoring, we have our phones monitoring us. We have our watches monitoring us. If we have glasses on our face that are monitoring us, you know, there's this, I didn't even hear about this other thing. You threw this Aura ring, which is actually a pretty cool idea, but the ring that monitors your health, like all of these devices that are constantly monitoring. And then we have the apps on the phones that are monitoring. How much will they be able to monitor? And what are we going to be monitoring? And at some point, are we just going to become a society where everything is monitored? And is that really what we want? Like, we really have to stop and think about it as a society to say, do we really want to be a society of people that is just constantly monitored? Or do we want the ability to say, I can take my phone? And granted, you can, there's arguments that say that even if you power off your phones, some phones are still monitoring.
Yeah, I heard that the new phones, the new Pixels, the new iPhones, even if you turn them off, because you can't, like the old days, like the flip phone, take the battery out.
Right.
So how do you know it's not monitoring you? I mean, I guess you would know if there's technology we could find out. But like the Pixel, you can't take the battery out. The iPhone, you can't take the battery out. And that's the only way you can be sure that it's no longer getting a signal. So let me ask you this, because you're the nerd IT guy. Is there a way you could tell if you turn power down your iPhone if it's still active?
There are ways. There are meters that you can obviously buy or get a hold of that would be able to detect the elect. Because if it's powered down, but it's still monitoring something, that it's going to be generating some sort of an electromagnetic signal.
Okay.
It has to, because everything's electromagnetic.
Right.
So it'll still be generating some sort of an electromagnetic signal. So there are ways to monitor it. But the best thing you can do with any kind of device is, if you're really unsure as to whether or not it's actually monitoring you or not, you can simply go on Amazon and spend a few bucks and get a bag that is meant to block cellular or any kind of electrical signal. They call them Faraday bags. They're under multitude of names. You can put a phone and a watch in one of those bags and they will continue to run, but there's no signaling out. It's like wrapping it in aluminum foil almost. It's the same concept of the little blockers for the RFID cards for your credit cards. And,
right,
you know, you want to keep those protected. They give you the little sleeves. It's just metal. The more metal and the more interference you create around the device, the less it can transmit. So it can still try to transmit, but it's just bouncing the single signal back on itself. So they already have
a microwave. Is a microwave, assuming you don't turn it on, if you put your phone in the microwave, is that considered a Faraday cage?
That's a good question. I have heard that. I have not tested it. I have seen some YouTube people that have tested it. It'd be interesting to test. I guess the best way to test it would be to put your phone in the microwave and then try to call it and see if the call
don't
actually
turn it
makes
on.
It.
Don't.
Yeah. Don't.
I would unplug. I would unplug this.
Unplug your
just so you don't accidentally hit the 1 minute timer.
Don't nuke your phone, man.
But that's a really good point. We've talked about security in other episodes of the show, because everyone, I think it's funny because everyone gets upset because apparently when you download the Facebook app, which I don't have, it even if you like take away all permissions, it's still monitoring you, and people got all upset. I'm like, if you think that Facebook app is the only app that's monitoring you without you noticing, I got a bridge in the Sahara Desert to sell you, okay? Because it ain't true. It ain't true. Everything is monitoring you. See, we like I like my watch monitoring me if I fall down. And okay, it's communicating with the cell towers and your Wi-Fi. That's how it works. And I think we're entering an age now that if you really want to have privacy, I don't think it's enough just to like Tim Ferriss always puts his phone in do not disturb. That's still communicating. Do not disturb, or if you put it on, you know, focus mode, or if you turn it off, it's still communicating. I really believe because you can't unplug the battery, it's still communicating. And maybe the Amish have something going because they don't have phones. They don't have cell phones there. And if that's what you want, now that's going back in time. We like things both sides. We like to have all the cool tools, but we don't want to be monitored. Well, you can't have it both ways. I think people know that. When you watch Netflix, they know what shows you're watching. When you watch YouTube, they know what you're watching via the algorithm. So you got to be real careful. People are watching what you're doing, and a lot of times it's automatic. It's the way of life. Now, that's one of the reasons why I buy print books, because let's say I buy a print book, and all of a sudden it's a book about COVID, and all of a sudden they ban the book. Well, guess what? They can take it off of Audible. They can take it off your device, off your Kindle, but I got the print book. They're not going to come to my house. So that may sound conspiratorial to you, but I try to read print books because I want to make sure it doesn't get away from me. How many times someone says, hey, Danny, check out this website. You click the link and it's gone.
Yeah.
Why?
No.
So what I do, agree. If I see it, what I do is if I think it's something controversial, I will actually take that and screen grab it. Now, I put it up in Dropbox, but even Dropbox can delete it. I mean, basically, unless you're one of the global elites, the billionaire who runs a country, you don't have as much control as you think you do.
No, that's true. There are obviously ways, as a nerd, there are ways to take back quite a bit of that control, but it takes time and it takes effort. It's nerdy effort, so, you know, for anyone who's nerdy, it can be fun if you've got the time to invest in it. There are certain aspects of that can be done. But, you know, it's like anything else. We've gotten to the point now where we've become so reliant on the conveniences of all of these technology devices that monitor because they help us in other areas of our lives, that in order for us to take back control, it's work for us. Because we've given up that control. It's like anything else. Once you give it up, it's work to get it back. Not that it can't be done at this point, but it's work to get it back.
Yep, 100%. Well, I know we went down the conspiratorial route, but you know what? There are a lot of things going on behind the scenes. This is not a conspiracy podcast, but just do your own research. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. Danny knows what I'm talking about, but we won't talk about it in the podcast. But I just thought it was really interesting. Who knows what the future is going to hold? And hopefully this podcast will be around for 50 years and we can talk about the changes. I'll be a really old man. And I'll say, Danny, remember when I was talking about my iPhone Pro 13 Pro Max? Remember that? Now I got the implant in my brain. Hopefully I won't be talking that way. Anyways, so thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to go to WhatsApp, look up Two Bald Nerds and join the conversation because right now it's just Danny and me. It's kind of lonely. It's like crickets over there. But Danny, what is the one thing we always have to tell people to do when they stop listening to the show before our next episode? There's one thing they must always do.
You must always stay nerdy, people.
Amen, brother.